Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to me, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. By the way, Walker's here, Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Great to have you back.
Thank you very, very much. Good to be back. By the way, did y'all use that intro right there while I was out?
No.
Use something else? Okay.
We used a generic.
A generic intro. It is good to be back. For those who don't know, I had a automobile accident a week ago tonight. This is Wednesday, right?
No, Thursday.
Thursday.
I guess I'm not back 100%.
A week and a day.
Okay, a week and a day. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give you the long version. I'll give you the short version. I had to go to Washington, D.C. on behalf of the ministry for a meeting on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I went to Birmingham late Tuesday night after coaching my undefeated T-ball team. It's a two-hour drive from Tupelo to Birmingham. Mm-hmm. So I get to the hotel about 11. I had to get up at 4 a.m. Mm. And fly to D.C., meetings, fly back to Birmingham, get in my car, take off, trying to get home, and somewhere around 8 o'clock, I don't know what time it was. Do you know what time it was?
It was between 8 and 9.
Somewhere between 8 and 9, about an hour away from Tupelo, from Birmingham to Tupelo on I-22, I dozed off, fell asleep, whatever you want to call it. My fault, but just one of those things that I should have put myself in that position. But it happened, and my van going 70 miles an hour with me asleep, probably not for more than a few seconds because I hit the back of an 18-wheeler. And in that square off, the 18-wheeler wins. And I'm dragged, I guess, dragged or whatever for I don't know how many feet because I wasn't there. I mean, I was there, but I was like going. I woke up in the middle of this crash. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it except almost a dreamy like situation.
Sure.
If you've ever been in that deal where you sort of don't know what's going on, you know something's happening to you. Mm-hmm. JJ, I know, has fell off a horse and you know that semi-consciousness state you're in. So I'm like going, what is happening to me? Now, I didn't see the light, you know, or you know, I didn't
hear a voice.
I didn't have an out-of-body experience looking down on myself. But I ended up on the side of the highway, the interstate.
That's amazing.
Listen to this now. My van was on the side, was on the shoulder of the interstate as if I had pulled over.
Yeah. That's
okay. Funny. Now, I could have just as easily been stuck out there in the middle of the road and had a truck run over me or other people get hurt. God didn't let that happen. Mm-hmm. So, what are the chances of that? You tell me. I think, and then I was able to get up and walk out of my car, my van, and the airbags everywhere. Mm-hmm. That front end of that van is smashed up against my
dashboard.
I'm 6 inches from death. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Or maiming or paralyzation or something that ain't. Excuse Southern English, ain't good. So I'm sitting there in days, get out of my car, walk around, call 911. They had to track me, ping my phone to track me because I didn't know exactly where I was. And, you know, that's one of those situations. Some of us have been in a situation where you sort of pinch yourself and you go, is this really happening or is this some kind of a bad dream I'm in?
Yeah.
So, and then two truck drivers stopped to help me, and then the EMTs showed up, then later the highway patrolman showed up. But then my wife showed up because I called her and told her I'd been in an accident. She was on her way. Allison, she came pick me up. And if you look at that car, you would say whoever was in that car is dead.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that, Walker?
Absolutely. Huh? Yeah, it was destroyed.
Okay.
Completely destroyed.
So she takes me to Tupelo Hospital, North Mississippi Medical Center. And I'm laying back in the van because I can walk. I can talk. I don't have any serious obvious injuries to speak of. But then she gets me to the hospital, and they did a CAT scan, I guess, or something like that.
Yes, a CAT scan.
And the doctor discovered that I had internal bleeding. Mm-hmm. And she said then that team of doctors and nurses – he said, swarmed in like a NASCAR tire changing. You've seen those?
Yeah.
They swarmed in, and because you have to deal with that. I'm giving you guys too many details here, but just you have to deal with that or to poison your body after
That's a while.
Right. That internal bleeding. Because I could feel something going on.
Yeah.
You know, I could talk to you, but then, Walker, I guess I became less and less cogent, didn't I?
Yeah, you were kind of fading in and out. And you could tell something was wrong. And the emergency room staff, you know when something is wrong because they all start rushing around and they bring in extra help.
Yep.
And that's what they did with
they
you.
They went into full attention to this patient mode.
Yeah,
didn't
so they brought in seven or eight people. Everybody was doing their own thing, and they were doing an ultrasound on your stomach. Mm-hmm. And immediately the doctor came in, and it was funny at the time, or it's funny now looking back. You were thirsty. Because they had you on some medicine drying your mouth out, and you were thirsty, and you kept telling me, I got to have some water. I need some water.
I did. I don't even remember that.
Yeah, and I was standing over you with a cup of coffee because it was midnight or 1 in the morning, and you said, is that my water? And I said, no, this is my coffee. And you said, well, go get me some water. So I stepped outside, and a doctor walked by, and I said, do you have some water around here? And he said, who's it for? And I said, I'm just going to get some for my dad in here. And he said, is that Mr. Wildman? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, Mr. Wildman can't have water because he's about to have emergency surgery.
Yeah.
So that was the first I had heard.
Really? That's how you found out about it?
Yeah. And then he walked right past me and came in and started talking to you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation. I was in the room Walker talking about. In the ER, being attended to, and then I hear the doctor say, you can, even though you can't really, you're not really cogent enough to have on a conversation, have a conversation with people, you sort of hear what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the doctor come in and say, well, we're going to have to take him back now because he's got a bleeding aorta or something, a bleeding artery or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
As it turned out, it wasn't a major, it was a puncture enough to cause me to bleed internally, but they had to go in and repair that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And they had a, I don't want to be too graphic here, but they had to open me up wide open because they had to make sure I wasn't injured in any other major way.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sew you back up and send you to the ER recovery room and hospital. And I got out
Tuesday morning
and got to go back to the doctor. I got my hand banged up. Can't type now, but can't. So it'll be a few weeks on that. But other than that and this general soreness of hitting a truck going 70 miles an hour,
yeah,
what the seatbelts do to you.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm just amazed at the technological advances for safety that have come on cars and vans and trucks in the last 5 to 10 years.
Saved your life.
Huh?
Saved your life.
Yes, and you know that. How many of you raise your hand, you've ever had the seatbelt? You know the part of the seatbelt that straps across your chest from your neck down to your...
Uh-huh.
And you reach for your phone or your pen...
Uh-huh.
Or something, and it stops you after about 2 inches.
Yeah.
And you go.
You get mad.
You get, you're like, you know, why is this thing doing this? You know, so, well, that's why it's doing it, because if I wouldn't have had that, if people don't have that on the cards and they get into a high-speed accident,
right,
Walker, they snap their neck.
Yes. Yeah, so. The seatbelts and the airbags are amazing advances in technology and safety.
Mm-hmm.
And
I guess you can go and read Consumer Reports or something to find out what the safest cars are and trucks are.
Yeah, there's ratings. There's companies. But that, organizations
that's a whole level of importance to me now. I was thinking about that the other day. You know, if I'm in a small vehicle, I ain't got no chance. Have you ever experienced anything like what I'm talking about?
Slid off the road once in icy, snowy conditions.
Yeah.
The car's going down the road, and I can't control it at all, and I end up in a ditch. I mean, fine, just get towed out, but that's the closest.
How fast were you going?
Not that fast at all because it was snowy and icy, but, yeah. I mean, it went out of control. I'm shocked to see you in here today.
Well, I'm going to go. Came into work this morning because I'm in the in-between stage.
Yeah.
I'm going to fade after lunch. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to have to go home and sit down and watch my wife do yard work. And but she understands.
Yeah.
I'm just getting my wife's like superwoman from another planet, so it's not fair to compare anybody to her energy level. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, but you can't just sit. If I'm walk and and everything, then I'm just not gonna. I just can't sit at home.
Right. Yeah.
How much TV can a man watch? You know, by himself on a patio.
That's probably good therapy for you to come in and start.
Get it going.
Climatized again.
Get it going. Yeah. But let me just bottom line with this. Close with this. God intervened.
Amen.
To spare my life.
Amen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Y'all could have just as easily today, probably should be talking about where to send your gifts because, you know, in honor of whatever, memory of, because miracles do happen. I don't want to get into a theological debate with anybody, but miracles are rare by definition.
Mm-hmm.
They do not happen to people every day.
That's right.
Miracles are when God reaches down, supernaturally intervenes to stop something that would have otherwise happened in the natural.
Yes.
The something that otherwise happens in the natural, God doesn't always protect us from our own mistakes,
right.
Christian or non-Christian.
That's right.
You know, Tim falls asleep. That's on him, even though it's not something I did consciously. The natural, consequences of that are whatever happens to him. Mm-hmm. You know, in the car accident.
Right.
It's not God's fault.
Mm-hmm.
But when God does things to stop what otherwise would have obviously been
a much worse
situation. And there's no other explanation for it unless you just believe in random chance.
No.
Which I don't.
Nope.
Certain things, number of things happen to you, you go, okay, maybe that happened, and maybe that happened, and maybe that happened. I can understand. No, not not one, two, three happened all together to prevent something that looks like could have been a human tragedy of that would have been terrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nobody else was hurt in this thing. The truck driver ahead of me who I ran into wasn't hurt. No other cars had accidents because they were trying to avoid me. So
it's a miracle.
It's a miracle of God. And I give him all the credit.
Amen.
And, thankfully I'm here to talk.
Absolutely.
Today. And, you know, the Lord spares our lives in situations sometimes, because he wants you to do other things for him while you're here on earth.
Yep.
So now my job is to not let him down.
That's right.
Mm. You know, I was thinking about that. Mm. You know, when you get, you have a near-death experience like that?
Mm-hmm.
I know JJ's had a couple of those, I think, in his life, JJ Jasper.
Mm-hmm.
It's sobering once you get through the moment and you look back and you go,
that could have been it.
That could have been it, and that almost was it. And you go, well, then I need to up my level of love for God while I'm here on earth, because obviously he's wanting me to do something
I
need to be sharp and ready to go to be able to do it. And I have to be fully committed to the Lord every day.
Makes you thankful for every day too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That you can walk out and get in your car this morning, come to work.
Absolutely.
Boy.
Absolutely. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I mean that with every fiber of my being, as they say.
Absolutely.
All right. Now I'm exhausted and I'm going to go home.
Fred, and I'll take the rest of the show.
Okay. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Fred and Walker. And I know many of you listening to me right now have had, you've had similar experiences, or you know a family member who've had similar experiences to what I just had, what I just described, whether it be an automobile accident or cancer.
Yeah.
Or
heart attacks.
Heart attacks or something else. That's happened to you, which was a jolting moment in your life or your family's life. And, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday. Almost every family has had car accidents. You know, some fatal, some like me, we know survived by a miracle.
Yeah.
Cars are very dangerous things.
Yeah.
If not respected. You got, here I go. I've been reading up on car safety and driving safety.
This is good.
I better stop right now. But let me just tell you something. I did, so the other day I was reading, I was saying, what is, I typed in, I Googled in, what are the leading causes of automobile accidents?
Yeah. Driver error.
And if you've never had one, either you're a very safe driver or it hasn't happened to you yet. And I hope you're a very safe driver, but the leading causes of accidents are, I think number one is distraction.
Yeah.
Either you're looking out, looking at your car radio, or you're talking on your phone.
Yeah.
Or you're looking down to get
kids in the back seat.
Or you look, get your burger out of your bag. Whatever the case may be. So distraction. Number two, I think, was speed. You're going too fast. And you know, if you drive too fast, you know you drive too fast. And you know what? There's no reason to drive 10 more miles an hour over the speed limit.
That's right.
If it's going to mean 20 minutes or 30 minutes of you getting there versus having a wreck.
That's right.
And the funny thing is that usually you pass somebody and you get to a red light and they pull up right beside you.
Yes.
That happens to me all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. The other one was weather related, like wet roads and things like that. And drunk alcohol. Obviously, we read about that every day. But most of the things are preventable, or at least you can pay some more attention to those and stop doing those things. We all know people who speed, who are distracted. You know, you can put your cell phones, there's no reason to talk on your cell phones driving down. Well, you can put it on speakerphone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Do you know what shocks
and
me
Bluetooth
too?
Now, what?
But when driving. The number of people who still don't drive, still drive without the seatbelt on. That is scary. How many times during the run of a year do we read stories about a person being thrown from their vehicle because they didn't have a seatbelt on? When sometimes I'll watch folks coming down the road in a pickup truck, and they got about six people in the front seat of the pickup truck. There are not six seatbelts.
That's true.
And you
why wouldn't you wear?
Some people are just rebellious.
It's like putting your helmet on for a bike or.
My seatbelt is snapped before I start my car. I feel like I'm driving down the road without pants on if I don't have.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the way you should.
It
feel.
It needs to become a habit.
It does.
Yeah.
But there's still people still reckless about it, and it happens several times a year. You read stories. They weren't wearing a seatbelt.
If you don't wear a seatbelt, one day you're going to pay a price.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you don't wear a seatbelt, even a 25-mile-an-hour situation, could do.
Yeah.
So you got to wear that seatbelt. Absolutely. All right, Fred, what is happening in the news?
Rudy Giuliani. He was at the White House yesterday. He is one of the president's lawyers right now. It's at the White House yesterday, and I have to explain this. The president was honoring kids in sports and valuing kids in sports, and I have to say that because you're going to hear kids in the background and music playing. This was all at the White House, outside the White House yesterday. He was being asked and talking about the Mueller investigation, and basically what he told reporters is that Mueller has to have a report out publicly on what he has found by September 1st, or, here's how Rudy Giuliani put it, he runs the risk of doing a Comey. Okay? And what? And he's going to explain what he meant. But basically, Comey, remember he was blamed by the Hillary Clinton campaign for changing his mind very close to the election day, and people voted against her. That's what she is alleging. But what Giuliani is saying is that the report has to be out, or Mueller is going to run the risk of him being blamed for whatever may happen during this fall's election. Here's how he put it. This is Rudy Giuliani out in front of the White House with a lot of other things going on.
By September 1st, the public should have an explanation of what Mueller has. I really want that because I don't think he has much.
How is Robert Mueller meddling in the midterms?
If he doesn't file his report by September 1st, mid-September, he's clearly doing a call. Meaning meddling in the election. Doing Hillary in July, doing Hillary again in late October, and then pulling back on the investigation the weekend before the election. Horrible. You're going to get a report from Horowitz, I believe, that'll explain all that.
All right, so that was Giuliani, and we tried to cut out some of the background.
Is it like a jazz club?
They had the band like playing. They had the kids playing. It was a busy day outside the White House there. But so what he's saying, and I think he's making the remark public, obviously, he is trying to force, I believe, Mueller into issuing some kind of definitive report. This is what we have found. This is what we haven't found. And he's saying if Mueller doesn't do that, then he believes the mystery will have an impact on this fall's election. Mm-hmm. If Comey or if Mueller doesn't do something.
Yeah, I would like to think that he'll wrap it up by September, but my instinct is they're going to ride this one out. They're going to ride this one till 2020.
Yeah.
If I were Mueller and I was motivated how I think they are, he and his attorneys, which is I'm out to get President Trump, no matter what, at all cost, and you have an unlimited budget, then I would investigate. I would investigate what he ate 10 years ago.
Yeah,
and I don't think that Robert Mueller is going to wrap this thing up in an honest fashion, in a quick fashion. I think they're going to drag this thing out because this was Plan B.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Peter Strzok and Lisa Page met with Andrew McCabe about the insurance policy. Plan B is to bring down a President Trump should he be elected in November.
Mm-hmm.
So the insurance policy, I think they have much more things to be done before they end the insurance policy.
But now, again, who can fire Mueller?
President can.
President Trump can
okay.
Direct.
May I suggest this? With all due respect to the president,
mm-hmm.
Which I admire for a lot of the things that he's done.
Yeah.
Don't always admire the way he says things, but that's okay. He's done
well,
more
than everybody, every other human.
That's true, Walker.
Right.
Good point. I guess shouldn't feel the need to say that, but this president's done so much for mm-hmm. the conservative movement, the pro-life cause. He deserves a lot of praise. But we're reaching a point to me where, because I'm the CEO of this organization, for example,
mm-hmm.
and I've got somebody that I view as illegitimately harassing me and interrupting my what I want to accomplish and my team and everything.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't an exact parallel, but I reach a point where I say, you know what? Enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using my authority
mm-hmm.
to fire you.
Mm-hmm.
And if I get in trouble for that, then take it up with my board of directors.
Yeah.
Right.
Or in this case, take it up with whoever.
Congress.
The voters.
Congress.
The voters, of the Congress.
Yeah.
So I what I'm saying is I'm about to reach a point where I'm pointing the finger at President Trump.
Yes.
For not firing Mueller. If you're not going to fire Mueller, quit complaining about him.
That's right.
Huh? Yes, that makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
And I know Jeff Sessions is partly the problem here, but after a while you go, well, who hired Jeff Sessions?
Right.
That's right.
President Trump hired Jeff Sessions. So mm-hmm. I'm about ready for President Trump to fire Mueller, or let's quit talking about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
We will return momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers the impulse drive?
Dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Roseanne Barr blamed Ambien for her racist tweeting the other day, but the mainstream media is blaming President Trump. Here's Al Sharpton.
When you have a president that started his political career on birtherism, saying that he's not one of us, when he did everything he could to do dog whistling around this issue of race, people like Roseanne feel they're empowered.
MSNBC was leading the charge as they advanced a very dangerous narrative that the president and his supporters are racist white supremacist. MSNBC political pundit Tim Wise.
White America has been raised to believe, A, the police are always the good guys, and frankly, that black lives matter less than white comfort.
For a major television network to broadcast such outrageous nonsense demonstrates their level of hatred, not just towards the president, but also his supporters. And they will stop at nothing to destroy their reputations. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker and Fred. Walker, tell folks how they can watch the show and engage in the program here.
Yes, multiple ways to keep up with the show. The first way is obviously on Facebook, so you can watch the show and catch the news stories on Facebook, on the Today's Issues Facebook page. Another way is on YouTube. We live stream each weekday on YouTube, 10 through to 11:30 Central. You can also go there and watch archive shows from past days. Lastly, you can download the American Family Radio app on your mobile device. Just visit your app store on whichever kind of smartphone you have and just type in American Family Radio. Download the app, and you can listen anywhere as long as you have an internet connection.
And your show this weekend?
Yes, my show is Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central. Subject of the show still undecided, but I'll
there's nothing going on in Washington.
Yeah, not much news going on, but I'll talk about something obviously related to Washington. Yeah.
But the program is called Exposing Washington. Mm-hmm. It's a relatively new program to our network, and you're hosting it by yourself.
That's right, 30 minutes, nonstop, no breaks.
You just monologue there the whole time?
Yeah, bring in some audio clips.
Okay.
I try to make it pretty interactive.
Okay. So that's Saturday mm-hmm. at 2:30 Central Time?
Mm-hmm.
Tune in to Walker's called Exposing Washington. Again, welcome to the program and to American Family Radio. Fred, what's next?
All right. Well, we're going to bring in our good friend Jan Markell from Olive Tree Ministries, as we do most Thursdays here on Today's Issues. Jan Markell from the great state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Fred. I'm always honored to be on with you and with you fellows.
All right. Well, we're hanging in here, and we're welcoming our boss, Tim, back today.
Yeah.
Who's been out for a little bit.
Yeah.
Not vacationing either.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear.
Jan may not know, but yeah, and I won't relive the whole.
Yes.
I had a car accident a week ago last night. Mm-hmm. Almost died.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. I mean, I hit a truck from the rear going 70 miles an hour. The truck was also moving. Mm-hmm. So it was a bad deal, but the Lord spared me. And but other than that, since the last time we visited, Jan, it's been a pretty uneventful time in my life.
Jim, I'm so sorry. I did not know, and thank God that He spared your life, because we need you guys. We need you so badly.
That's okay. You know, I kept asking Allison, my wife, you know, every few hours, have you heard from Jan Markell yet? call, email, something, and you know, so I figured maybe you just didn't know.
I did not know. And I'm just shocked, but I'm so glad you're okay.
That's okay. Well, the Lord, in all seriousness, the Lord did save me from what would otherwise have been a sure death, and praise Him for that, and it was a miracle.
Amen.
Yeah, but hey, if you want to send me a Cracker Barrel card or or like a Red Lobster or something like that, hey, that's okay.
I'm going to come down and hand deliver it.
Okay. Ah, well, there you go.
Come on down.
In studio, live.
Yeah, well, it's 110 degrees.
Yeah, nothing like summertime in the South, Jan. You'll love it. All right, Fred, move on.
All right. Jan, since last we spoke, remember, you know, leading up to the opening of the new embassy, U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, the Hamas terrorists were active along the border there with Gaza and Israel, attacks every day. And, of course, Israel being blamed because it responded to those attacks. And then we had a more serious attack just a few days ago from Hamas. Israel responded. Israel, no damage there because the Iron Dome, they were able to head off some of these missiles.
Right.
But Israel responded, and then lo and behold, Hamas, they want peace talks with Israel.
Yeah, they do.
A ceasefire. How long do you think that's going to last?
Yeah, and the way you concluded that, Fred, is really appropriate, and that is, how long do you think it'll last? It'll be short term, because it always is. You know, these guys, these terrorists, they're trying to fulfill the verse Psalm 83. It's either verse 3 or verse 6, where it says, "Israel's neighbors complaining, come, let us wipe out the very memory of their existence, Israel's existence." And that is the sentiment of almost all of her neighbors. Thankfully, Jordan is fairly peaceful, and thankfully Egypt, thanks to President El-Sisi, is a pretty good neighbor. But they've been to war with Israel in previous years, 1973, 1948. So she lives in just continual conflict. You know, imagine if we here in America were constantly anticipating rockets from Canada and Mexico, and in a sense we have some immigration issues, certainly to ourselves, that is almost as destructive. But having said that, if we literally were trying to dodge bullets and rockets, bombs, and any other kind of ammunition that could come our way from our closest neighbors, and this is what they live with almost all the time. Plus, there's 100,000 rockets Hezbollah has aimed at Israel from the north, plus ISIS, the Iranians, the Syrians, the Russians, all around her. Hamas in Gaza, you know what? They've got a tense lifestyle.
I tell you what, and at the same time, Israel, under this constant threat and being attacked, it's not the Syrians in the east, it's Hamas, you know, backed up against the Mediterranean there. But at the same time, they have the audacity to go to the International Criminal Court and ask for more support. These are the Palestinians for the BDS movement, the Boycott, Divest, and Sanction movement against it. They want to punish Israel in any way that they can.
That is right. From the EU to the United Nations, the global community, in general is, again, Zechariah 12:3, I believe it is, where the whole world will rail against God's country. But, you know, praise God for Donald Trump. And I just taped a program yesterday that airs not this week. It happens to be the next with an Israeli, Amir Sarfati. And let me tell you, the Israelis are literally thanking God every day for President Donald Trump. I mean, he may not be perfect because none of us are, but he is looking out for Israel's interests, and he is clearly committed to doing that as much as he possibly can. Now, we need to keep our eyes on the fact that there's going to be some kind of a peace treaty put on a table here in the next week or two by Jared Kushner. And my Israeli guest said, as we were taping the program yesterday, that he believes that the terms of this agreement are such that the Palestinian community, Hamas, Palestinian Authority, and in Israel will never accept these terms and will walk away from it as they always do. So that's probably coming in the next week or 2 weeks.
70th anniversary of the Nation of Israel.
Amazing. Mm. A miracle.
Yeah.
And it happened twice, returning from Babylon and then returning, starting in the late 1800s, made it official May 14th, 1948. That, perhaps, the miracle of all time, a rebirthed language, the nation came back from nothing, incredibly. And any of your listeners, gentlemen, who've been there would attest to it. It is an absolute wondrous miracle over there.
You know, I was reading in Genesis about the covenant God made with Abraham.
Genesis 12.
The land of Israel goes all the way back to the end, as far as the Jews go, right?
The Abrahamic covenant.
So,
yes, goes back, certainly Genesis 12 is heavy with that.
Yeah, so I was reading about that, but it, you know, God himself is saying, I will make a covenant.
That's right.
With you, with your people, make you a great nation, but also talking about the land. And, you know, the fact that that Israel exists today as a, well, the fact that the Jews exist today as a people who've lasted all these thousands of years, their people continue. I don't know, maybe the Egyptians, I don't know who else you can point out and say, hey, there's a trail that we can follow all the way back to
the beginning.
The beginning of time,
Or
at least close to the beginning of, of recorded history. Go ahead, Jan.
Well, and that's because God's a covenant maker and keeper. But, you know, the Christian can apply that to their lives as well. If God promises us something, he's going to keep his promises to us, just as he does to the nation of Israel. Amen. That's not replacement theology-type language. It's just he's a covenant maker and a covenant keeper. And he kept his covenant with the Jews, and he said, your numbers will be as the stars in the heavens, be so many as sand of the seashore. And anyway, he's kept his promise.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, for those who would be skeptical of the biblical, of the Bible's accuracy historically or spiritually or theologically any other way, certainly of historically the Bible being accurate or not, and you look at the survival of the Jewish people.
It's a miracle.
Then explain to me how they have survived. You understand what I'm saying? It's unbelievable,
and in a human sense, in a worldly sense.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, I say to people, I talked to an evangelical friend of mine the other day, and he is not a believer that the covenant is still in place. You know, no difference between the Pakistanis and the Israel.
Hmm.
Well, there is a huge difference. But you know what? If you don't believe that God has kept his promise to Israel, then you have reason to believe that God can't keep his promise.
Yes.
That as Christians, we are kept by him. Our salvation is...
You talking about the new covenant?
I'm talking about the new covenant, as far as we are saved by the grace of God, but we are also kept by the grace of God. We don't have to work to keep our salvation.
Right.
And so if you believe that God can break his promise to Israel, then you ought to be concerned about God's promise.
That's right.
That once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that God someday kind of gets fed up with you and the way you're behaving. Okay, you're not saved anymore. And I'm not being flipped there. I'm talking about the character of God.
Yeah.
In God's sovereignty, he decided, he wanted a nation, a people to manifest himself through. And in God's sovereignty, he decided, you can't work your way to heaven. You need a savior, so I have to send my perfect son to die on the cross for you, and I'm going to keep you. Once you're my child, I am going to keep you as my child.
Yes. Jan, let me ask you this question, one other question I have for you. How do you explain, for those who would say, well, Jan, Fred, Tim, Walker, have you ever been around, there are not a lot of Jews who believe in Jesus Christ
correct
as Messiah. Furthermore, if you go to Israel, the vast majority of Israelis who are Jews are secularist. So I'm not understanding you guys fitting a lot of religious prophecy into this situation when you're dealing with people who don't even believe in the Bible. How do you answer that, Jan?
Well, let's start with the part of your comment there that is absolutely accurate, that many Israeli Jews are secular. For that matter, Jews around, many of them around the world are secular. However, the first part of your statement, I would say, could be improved on only, and I've been in Jewish evangelism since about 1979. I mean, I've changed roles a little bit, then went into a pro-Israel type ministry, and now I'm a little bit different here again. But my only point is, Tim, there are more Jews coming to Jesus now than at any other time in pre-recorded history. There is a bit of a Jewish revival going on.
Wow.
Now, is that tens of millions? Of course not. There are only about, 13 million Jews left on the planet, I think, thanks to Hitler and Haman and others. But the percentage of them who are coming to faith is astronomically high right now. So that's the good news. You're also correct, though, that vast numbers are secular. So it's a kind of a twofold answer that I gave you. We need to rejoice in the latter.
God's promises and covenant for to the people, that is the Jews, his chosen people, from the Old Testament. I'm not saying it's negated because of the New Testament. I'm just saying back to the Old Testament promises of God to the Jews. That is, just because individual Jews stray and or never believe doesn't mean that God has negated his promise that will ultimately be fulfilled in the nation of Israel, right?
Amen.
Yes,
and that was good. What I just said was good. I hope it was taped right there. I'm channeling my inner John Hagee right there. But
Romans 9:10-11 kind of says it all. And God's heart remains for them, as did Paul the Apostle. So good things are happening, I assure you. I'm in this stream all day, every day, and there are wonderful things happening.
And don't forget the promise in the book of Revelation. In the tribulation, there are going to be 144,000 Jewish witnesses, Jewish evangelicals, and you're going to have the greatest revival, and it'll be mostly Jewish people that will be saved.
Jan, thanks so much. Your website is what?
OliveTreeViews.org this weekend. Michelle Bachman is going to be my guest, so I hope folks can tune in.
Thank you, Jan.
All right, bye now.
Appreciate it. All right, people, before you start emailing me about channeling, for your literalist out there, I don't believe in channeling. John Hagee or anybody else. Okay, it was a metaphor, it's a figure of speech. So you always got the 10% literalist out there. I can't believe Christian radio would
thankful for your disclaimer.
Would advocate New Age beliefs. If Tim believes in channeling, he needs to get off the radio. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. What's up next, Fred?
All right. Going to be a very interesting hearing on Capitol Hill next week. The Judiciary Chairman, the Senate Judiciary Committee, the chairman of that committee is Chuck Grassley, and he is going to hold a hearing based on the report that is coming from the Inspector General Michael Horowitz on how the FBI handled the Hillary Clinton email investigation. And oh boy, is that ever going to be interesting. I don't know yet whether it's going to be open, whether you'll see it on Fox News, or it's going to be closed doors. But we know obviously, from the things that we've been reporting over the last several months, Walker, that one of the, I think one of the witnesses that's going to appear before Chuck Grassley's committee is Peter Strzok.
Yeah.
Who was the lead FBI agent under James Comey, then the director. He was the lead FBI agent investigating Hillary Clinton. Hmm. We now know that he was a big Hillary Clinton fan,
yeah.
wanted Hillary Clinton to win the investigation. You will remember, as we have reported, when he brought Hillary Clinton in, I think it was on a Saturday in July of 2016, didn't even put her under oath. Mm-hmm. So I think those are the kinds of questions that are going to be asked, because we have great evidence that has evolved about Peter Strzok and what he was thinking based on messages right. he was writing to his fellow FBI agent girlfriend, Lisa Page. Mm-hmm. So we've got all of that coming forward, plus you're going to have some other things that are going to come up. I think we've talked so much about these investigations, Walker, that now we're finally getting down to the end of it. I think Michael Horowitz is just going to reveal, peel back yeah. so much that has been kept secret up to now. It's going to be fascinating. I do yeah. hope it's going to be a public hearing.
Yeah, yeah, and also Michael Horowitz is the Inspector General, and his office is established by law, and he has the authority to make criminal referrals mm-hmm. to U.S. attorneys' offices or U.S. prosecutors. That being said, Andrew McCabe has already been referred to a U.S. prosecutor's office for charges Yeah, for charges of lying under oath.
He was the deputy.
Deputy FBI director, number two at the FBI. Mm-hmm. And I hope there should be more criminal referrals coming from Horowitz's office, especially if he's wrapping up another investigation that involve Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, et cetera, so on and so forth. That all being said, if we don't have some grand juries convened and some charges brought by U.S. prosecutors within the next few months, I'm going to be sorely disappointed, because they do investigation after investigation, spend millions of U.S. taxpayer dollars bringing in witnesses, and nobody ever has to go to jail and wear an orange jumpsuit for the crimes they commit.
Yeah.
So I think it's time. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, this is not rocket science. He can press charges against someone based on the evidence that they found, mm-hmm. and he can bring them before and try them before a jury, and they can be either convicted or exonerated.
Yeah.
And so I think it's time to start doing this, because if nobody has to answer for the crimes they commit, then that sets a precedent moving forward that other administrations can do illegal things and get by with it. Yeah. And that goes with everyone involved.
So we're going to be watching that one very closely. We only have a few minutes left. There's more developments on the Roseanne Barr front that we need to talk about today. Roseanne Barr said some terrible things.
So we have a Roseanne Barr update?
There's an update.
Okay, we need breaking news then.
Beep, beep, beep.
We need a breaking news sound. But anyway.
We'll develop that. Okay, Roseanne Barr, Disney on ABC, cancels her show the other day because of things she said about Valerie Jarrett, who was an advisor to President Barack Obama. What Roseanne Barr said was absolutely terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely terrible. No excuse for it. So ABC pulls the show. All right? And the right thing to do. But here's the problem. Their judgment on that is not always carried forward for things, bad things said about other people, all right, by ABC employees, mm-hmm. people employed by the ABC network. And that's where the development is. And yesterday, Sarah Sanders, who is the White House spokesman, if you watch the White House briefing with those journalists every day, she's the one up there answering the questions, former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee's daughter. She gets up there and she reminds the media about what about the times when things were said about other people and ABC didn't fire those individuals, nor did you, the media, complain and celebrate like you have about the firing of Roseanne Barr. So here's what Sarah Sanders had to say yesterday, cut one.
No one's defending what she said. The president's pointing to the hypocrisy in the media, saying that the most horrible things about this president, and nobody addresses it. Where was Bob Iger's apology to the White House staff for Jemele Hill calling the president and anyone associated with him a white supremacist? For Joy Behr calling Christianity a mental illness? Where was the apology for Kathy Griffin going on a profane rant against the president on The View? And where was the apology from Bob Iger for ESPN hiring Keith Olbermann after his numerous expletive-laced tweets attacking the president as a Nazi and even expanding Olbermann's role after that attack against the president's family?
So, again,
boy, she's good.
She's very good.
She is very good. So Sanders not making excuses for Roseanne Barr, not at all. She just wants consistency. And why isn't the media demanding consistency? Hmm. And I think we know the answer to that. The media hates
Donald
Trump.
Because they hate Trump, too.
Yeah, exactly.
The media, the liberal media, is the mouthpiece for the resistance, which is the Democrat Party and their colleagues in the secular progressive movement.
And there were calls to boycott and end her show before she made that. She put out that inappropriate tweet. So that was just prime. That was prime opportunity to have her done.
I think people would do well to learn a lesson here. Whatever side politically you're on, quit tweeting.
Yeah.
And you know, the president could take my advice too sometimes on this. Now, I know that it helps for the president. It served a great tool to help him bypass the liberal media and go straight to the people. Mm-hmm. And so politically, it's been a great, but on a personal level, I think tweeting just broadly, American general public, is a bad idea. Because we don't need to be reacting to everything that happens instantaneously and emotionally. And I don't know what Roseanne Barr, I missed that when I had other issues I was dealing with, but I do know she got in trouble. I didn't know she had lost her show. But you can do something so bad, you embarrass your family, you embarrass yourself, and or you cost yourself your livelihood. In that situation, all because you felt the need to tell the world what you thought about something within 30 minutes of it happening.
We live in a reactionary society, and no one lets their emotions calm down before they respond. We all respond. We feel like we need to get our word out instantaneously, and it gets us in trouble sometimes.
Yes.
So this is a lesson, like you're saying, Dad, just to take it easy, cool it off, especially on this pop culture, you know, drama going on.
Yes, something happening on the news every day. You feel like the world needs to hear what you need to say about it.
Right.
When you don't even know all the facts.
Right.
Oftentimes, and so it's just on balance. I think that the Twitter world is Christians. I don't think
it can get you in trouble.
Christians need to be. If you're going to tweet as a believer, you need to have some level of accountability.
Yes.
Whether to other people that you call or you send before you release something out there, because you know, we all think we're right, don't we?
Huh? Of course we do.
Who gets a tweet ready and goes, you know, I know I'm dead wrong on this, but I'm gonna fire this thing out of here anyway. You know,
we usually find out after the fact that we're wrong.
And oftentimes we think we're so self-important the world needs to know what we think about something when we don't you know. Save your reactions to things that really matter. And also I don't know if this is a proverb, but
this is all scriptural.
It's probably a proverb, but I don't know where to cite it exactly. But it certainly is an old saying that your mom gave you, or your grandma gave you, your grandfather. Remember the old adage, you need to sleep on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? You need, before you just lash out at something or somebody, you need to sleep on it and calm down a little bit before you start. And the Bible teaches this, Walker, as you say. Yes. That's a biblical principle right there.
You bet.
We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.